The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
We are Living by the Word Ministries, a nonprofit organization dedicated to one cause. That cause is the truth given in the Holy Bible, which we believe is the inerrant and infallible Word of God, conferred to man to live by. We let the Word of God be the final authority as to what is or is not true. We strongly feel that if we do not expose false doctrine, we only encourage it. This ministry is designed to challenge you from an apologetic point of view. 1 Peter 3:15 instructs us to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. This is Michael Tinsley. Please stay tuned while we arm you, the believer, to keep living by the Word. It's the noble thing to do.
Yes, good evening, everyone. It is indeed the noble thing to do, to live by the Word. You're tuned into the Bible Information Brokers. Bible Information Brokers is a presentation of Living by the Word Ministries. We are here to answer your open and honest Bible questions. In just a few seconds here, I'm going to introduce you to the rest of the Bible Information Brokers team. But before I do that, let me give you the number to start calling in with your questions. And that number is 888-995-5552. Once again, 888-995-5552. And if it's easier for you to remember, 888-995-KKLA. And as I promised, let me introduce you to one of the team members first, and that would be Mr. Daryl Easy D. Fulton. Daryl, what's up tonight?
Hey, Mr. Eric Stanton, thank you very much. Everything is going very well, and I appreciate immensely, and our good buddy, Ozzy, taking care of business.
Ozzy, our engineer extraordinaire.
Exactly. Well, Eric, look, we talked before the broadcast about, prayer. We was talking to the between each other about prayer, and we want people to know that we really appreciate the privilege and opportunity to pray for folks that are listening out there in the broadcast. And we ask that for efficiency's sake and for time's sake and the type of broadcast that we have, that you please take advantage of all the various social media networks that we have, because in my opinion, everybody may not necessarily be up listening to the broadcast, but the social media have a tendency of putting more information out there to a larger amount of people. And we always ask you all to pray for us, and we really appreciate that. And we cover those prayers. We were so bold, and when I introduced the other teammate, he was even so bold to say, hey, don't even send in your donations. If you had a choice between donations, supporting the ministry financially, and prayer, we'll take the prayer. And I love that. I mean, that's no smoke. That's real situation as far as how we believe and feel about prayer. So, Eric, if you don't mind, I will open up the broadcast in prayer and just ask the people that are listening to us, please, 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 when you hear these various social media aspects, our website, Facebook, and the various things I'll mention in a moment, please take an opportunity to saturate your request for prayer and people that you are praying for, prayer for yourself, praying for us. I personally love to read those type of things. I don't do much social media other than the ministry. And so I really appreciate if you would put those reminders and requests for prayer on our social media platforms, and we're developing them as we speak. So I appreciate that, Eric, and thank you for the opportunity to share that with the listening audience.
Absolutely. Daryl, if you don't mind, I promised one friend of mine from church that I would mention her niece who's having a procedure. Her name is Kia.
Okay.
And just if we could just mention and bring her up in prayer, too.
Yeah, we do that
for everyone.
Yes, indeed, indeed. Well, let me open up in a word of prayer. And Lord, and especially for Kia, you know what she's dealing with as far as a procedure and operation. Matter of fact, I'll go see three doctors tomorrow. Nothing like too serious that I know of yet, but we'll see how it turns out. And just, you know, for general checking up. So, Lord, thank you for the privilege and opportunity that we have every day to breathe because we're still here. You've given us life in our body. We never want to take that for granted. We just ask and pray. I personally do for this broadcast, for everyone associated with it, all the teammates that's in listening, the teammates that's in studio, the teammates that are telephonically and the various methods that we have. Lord God, I just ask that you would empower us, even the listeners, even everyone else I just mentioned, to be able to, by your spirit and by your power, Lord, edify ourselves through glorifying you. That's as simple as I want to put it tonight, Lord. Please help us to do just that. As we glorify you in our intentionality as far as this broadcast is concerned, as far as the format that we have, and we've had the privilege of having for almost 25-plus years, we never want to take it for granted, Lord. We're doing kingdom business. Thank you for that privilege. Thank you for that opportunity. Strengthen us even as we go and do this dedicated time to you. In Jesus' precious and matchless name, amen. Well, without further ado, I'm going to bring up our other teammate momentarily, but let me repeat the number that Eric gave to you earlier as far as calling in telephonically, which is 888-995-5552. Please take advantage of that number while we have some open lines. Please don't wait to the end of the broadcast and you, oh, I want to call in now. Everyone has something on their mind, and if you would be so kind, just call Eric right now. He'll set you up in the queue, get you ready for your question to be answered from a biblical perspective, whatever's going on in your life, Bible study, church, the various things that's on your mind. I mean, I have quite a few things that dealing with family, friends, work. Well, not work for me, but, you know, the work I do. Yeah, I do work. The work I do and things like that. So please take an opportunity. Let's see what the Bible says about that. Maybe someone else can also be benefiting from the similar situation. So 888-995-5552 is the number to call. 888-995-KKLA. All the other formats are various. It's Facebook, email, tweet, messenger, and Truth Social. For all of you on those various formats, the same address. We, you know, thank God for the same address. Make it easy for us to communicate it. It's Bible Info Brokers. Bible Info Brokers for Facebook, email, tweet, and messenger, and Truth Social to be able to get your questions in tonight so we can answer them from a biblical perspective. And the gentleman I'm going to introduce now, who I affectionately will continue to call PCH, Professor Craig Hawkins, is the other teammate, and I want to bring him on right now from a telephonic perspective. PCH, are you with us tonight?
I am.
Well, very good, sir. How are you doing, sir?
Doing okay.
Good, good, good. You know, there's some things that we wanted to talk about last week, but I'm going to bring them up as we move on and broadcast. But we want to encourage folks to, you know, call in, and I see, David, you're calling in now. We're going to get to everyone that calls in as much as possible. But, Craig, I want to ask you in particular as far as the things that are going on, the very important trips you got coming up and all the various things you have going on in your life. Is there anything you want to share in particular in a way that it can be a sort of a lesson for us all vicariously through what's happening with you in your life? Because I know it's loaded and full, but I want to give you that opportunity to start the broadcast off like that if you want to.
Well, thanks, Dale. I really appreciate that. Yes. So, number one, second week of the murder trial for my son and two of the boys that were killed over 3 years ago. And it's kind of messy. I'll just spare you. I just appreciate people's prayers.
Yes.
I just see the counsels being disgusting, the defense counsel for the individual who takes no ownership, his own nothing, totally irresponsible, totally immoral as far as what he did. And he's like a little kid, doesn't own his actions. And it's just incredibly sad. But anyway, so I'm bringing that up. It's, as my wife said, something we've prayed for yet dreaded at the same time, the trial, because we knew that the attorney would go after our son who died and our other son and the other boys who survived and were died. And it's just sleazy. That's the word that I mean, I'm just really kind of disgusted with human nature, and you see the other side of it. I think of police officers who often see the worst of human behavior and can get jaded because they've constantly seen the horrible things that people do. All that to say, asking for people's prayers, that they would pray that the jury would see things the way they are, to do what's right and just. That God would be glorified through all this. The gospel will continue to be preached. And we're not looking for vengeance. It's not what this is about. But it is that this person, we believe, is a menace to society. He not only attacked our sons, but some other people as well, even his own family. So he's going to be up on trial for assault and battery to his own family when he gets done with this trial. It's just like, it's pretty sad, to say the least. But just so again, this isn't about vengeance. That's not what this is about. That doesn't bring anybody back, and that's not the right motive. And our prayer would be this guy would repent and come to Christ. But if not, then he should never get out of prison because he's a danger to society. I mean, literally, not just figuratively. So that's obviously heavy on my heart and going on, and we'll go back tomorrow morning, early in the morning, and the trial will proceed and may be done as far as the arguments, pro and con, defense and the prosecutor by Wednesday, and then go to the jury for a verdict. But the end of May, first week of June, I'm scheduled to be in Cambodia doing work with human rights and the gospel, human trafficking, dealing with particularly little boys and girls who are trafficked out of Cambodia, Thailand, and other parts of Asia, Southeast Asia. And so I'm going with a group of students, we're taking some folks with us, and helping equip them and getting them a heart and a passion for what they can do with legal skills. Those who are committed Christians, it can really make a difference. It's just incredibly important. Talk more about that some other time. But anyway, we'll be dealing with a number of NGOs. Most of them are Christian, and some the government and governmental organizations, and dealing with, again, human trafficking. And then I'll come back in about for 3 weeks, and then I'll be going out again. See if the schedule holds, that is. I'll be going to India for the training of trainers. We're going to be training pastors, Christian leaders, and missionaries in India. And then we'll get down there. We're going back to Nepal. We, of course, our dear brother Brian went home to be the Lord September last year. We were just in Nepal, and we're going to meet again with missionaries, Christian leaders, and pastors, training them, equipping, encouraging them. And I'll be blunt, Daryl, trying to help fund a lot of them. Fund them by Bibles for them to use to be able to hand out, pass out, and fund their activities, because we really believe in what they're doing. Why in the world should I go? People ask me, do I speak the language? It took me years to learn, just Hindi or Nepalese. And then there's all these dialects. In one part of India, there's over 500 dialects, and many of them can't speak to each other. And it's only because they speak English that they can talk to each other. So anyway, I'm getting way ahead of the curve here on this, but I'm just excited, Daryl. I mean, but, you know, there's like a good beating. I joke with some of our friends in ministry. We call it beatings before blessings.
I like that. Blessings. I actually like that, brother.
There's always the price to pay spiritually.
Yes, sir.
You got to keep your guard up, the full armor of God, your family covered in prayer. I mean, you can't let your guard down, because bad things happen, you know, all the way around. So at any rate, it just seems everything that can go wrong does go wrong. I've had gas lines break before when I was gone. I've had neighbors go crazy and try to attack my wife and my daughter. I mean, stuff is crazy. I mean, this is so, you can't make this stuff up, the old saying. You know, you can't make this up. So, you know, crazy, weird things happen, but that's, but there is a great privilege and honor in promoting the gospel, and particularly taking it to some of these missionaries who are going to parts of, well, India and Nepal, but also Burma, or old, Burma, Myanmar. And we're talking Bhutan as well, and, in Bangladesh. I mean, these are countries that are radically closed to the gospel, and there's often jail time otherwise for preaching the gospel. Some of the people we've dealt with that had, to try to kill them, jail time, 4 years plus years or more. Another guy was going to go to jail. Just it turned out he knew the right hand of the prime minister in Nepal. And interestingly, within an hour, the charges were dropped.
Wow.
He was going to go to jail for at least 5 years for sharing the gospel. Anyway, I got a lot going on. But here's the good news to break it down. You'll ask me several questions. I'm going on and on, but prayer. It's prayer. It's vital. You
yes.
said it earlier, Darrell. It's prayer. Prayer's not powerful. I hate that phrase. Mm. Prayer is not powerful. God works powerfully through prayer because prayer is a form of communication. Prasukamai, the noun and verb respectively in Greek. It's communication with God. It is fellowship, dialogue with God, and God hears our prayers as they're accord with his will, and he answers powerfully. So I'm excited to see the fruit, but I just know, Darrell, every time I do this stuff, you get a beating. Just you name it, things go wrong. Everything in the world you can imagine, from car problems, literally a gas line breaking, to neighbors going crazy. Seriously, just wild stuff. But that just lets me know that the devil's upset because we're doing something good. He doesn't bug you if you weren't messing with his territory or what he thinks is his territory. So it's a privilege, but the privilege is also, we would argue, is getting people to partner with us prayerfully, for example, and to join us in prayer that we'll see God mightily at work and see the gospel advance to the uttermost parts of the world. Literally, Dale. No hyperbole, no exaggeration. Training missionaries, pastors, Christian leaders going to literally people who've never heard the gospel before. Hey, that's not too shabby.
You know what, PCA? Next time I ask you to do something, I'm going to ask people to take out a piece of paper and notes in the Bible, because in what you describe as your life, and we all have a testimony for what's going on in our life, I'm listening very astutely to you, because, I mean, I love listening to people, because in listening to people, you can actually see how the Word of God is working through people's lives and how they're dealing with it. I'm listening to you, man, talk about some very serious things where I've seen a whole lot of people, by being in the court system for as many years as I've been, break down for a traffic ticket, man, let alone the murder of their child. So, you know, Craig, in all due respect, man, I know you're not, you know, looking to be pumped up or anything like that, or, you know, we kid each other a lot, but, man, it's just God bless you, and I hope that is encouraging for folks to hear the professor's voice and how he sounds. Not that that's the say-all, be-all, because he's a human being, too. I'm sure he's had his moments. I mean, the wife and the children are going to have their moments as we live this life. But, man, what an opportunity for you to take as an example the things that are going on in your life and try to follow a biblical perspective on it. Ask God to strengthen you through the testimonies of various people, folks. That's why it's important for us to realize that we are the body of Christ, and that prayer that Craig was talking about, that is not powerful in and of itself, but God works it in a powerful way when we come to him like a loving father. And I'm going to say it this way, Craig. I was listening to music, and this is going to be one of my questions later on about music and how it soothes the soul. And actually, literally, I was doing something with music whereby I was checking my this little watch thing my wife gave me to check heartbeats and all that stuff, and how it actually brought down the beats of my heart when I'm listening to it. But we'll talk about that a little later. We have callers that have called in. We have people maybe on social media. I'm going to check that out. And we ask folks to do that. And so we're going to honor them. But PCH, thank you for sharing your personal life with us, brother, from a biblical perspective. Really, man, I appreciate you.
Thanks, Darrell.
Ladies and gentlemen, 888-995-5552 is the number to call Eric right now. Mr. Stanton will take your call, put you in queue. We get you up on the show so we can get these questions answered. Hang in there, Diana. And David, we're going to get to you. Anybody else with any other initials in their name, please call 888-995-5552, 888-995-5552. All the other formats, Facebook, email, social media, not social media, True Social, tweeting or messenger is Bible Info Brokers. Bible Info Brokers. And when you're on our .com website, you can send us an email, and you can also make comments there. And any ways else you can make the comments, but we're asking for questions because it's a question and answer format, to Bible Info Brokers for Facebook, email, tweet, messenger, and social truth. So God bless you as you communicate with us tonight. Let's have a great show and see if we can learn some things from a biblical perspective. Matter of fact, let's see if David have anything else for us from a biblical perspective through his question from Pasadena. David, thanks for holding on and calling in.
Hello. This is Professor Greg
Yes, sir. That's him.
Yeah. You know, the Bible says in the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible, that at the end of the thousand-year reign of Christ, at the end of the tribulation, that God's going to destroy this world by fire because people fall away even in that. So then the teacher says he's going to make a new world and a new Jerusalem, you know? This new Jerusalem, 1,200 furlongs, is 1,500 miles across, wide, long, and up. So it's as big as three-quarters of the United States, and it goes up into the air about 1,500 miles, you know. 1,200 furlongs is about 1,500 miles. So I'm wondering, who's going to populate this new world that this new Jerusalem is sitting on?
Man, good question, David. PCH, who's going to be here on the new heaven and new earth?
Yeah. I mean, I know who's going to be in new heaven is the saints, right?
Mm-hmm.
So who's going to be, is it like, who's going to be in this? Is there going to be a new world? Do you think people will be living here?
PCH, were you able to hear that question?
Yeah. I wonder what your answer is.
Yeah, hold on 1 second there. PCH,
sorry about that. There we go.
Okay, there we go.
Sorry about that. So, yeah, so it's the saints are going to be there, you and me, and we're going to inhabit that place that at least will be the center on a new earth. We often talk about being in heaven, but if you really read Revelation carefully, it's about a new heaven and a new earth, and that God's abode, if you will be with us on the new earth, and this will be the center. Now, I'm sure there's things I don't understand about it. Now, I'm not much of a city person.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand some things either.
I'm hoping to live out in the country somewhere, in quotes, if you will.
Yeah.
But no doubt this is going to be a mind-boggling city or center of humanity on the new earth, and it's going to just be incredible. But yeah, we're going to be there, you and me, Daryl, Eric. That's what it is, people who've trusted in Christ as their Lord and Savior. No doubt it's going to be incredible. Again, I'm not really much of, let me put it this way. When I go, like, to Manhattan, it's fun to visit for about a day or two, and then I want out. I wouldn't want to live in Manhattan. Skyscrapers are nice to look at, but I really don't want to live in one, personally. But I clearly get it that this thing's going to be so incredible that my normal phobias and or just not really clicking with high rises and all that, I'm sure are going to be non-existent. But as far as the center of humanity and God's abode with people, that the New Jerusalem's going to be it, and it's no doubt just going to be mind-boggling and incredible, Dave. David, so I'm excited to see what God has.
David, that's an excellent question, man.
It's a mystery for us.
Indeed.
God wants heaven. We don't know everything about heaven, you know. But we know it's a beautiful, wonderful place. So maybe, okay, well, thank you.
Thank you very much for your
call. But even mystery, mysterion in Greek, that's often, the term is often used as something that was previously hidden and now has been revealed at least to some level, not completely. So there are things that we didn't know or didn't have an inkling of at least, and now we can and do. We don't see everything. We don't see face to face as we're going to see, but there's many things that we can and do know. And again, I look at great cities. Think of somewhere like, well, just flush with cash, places like Abu Dhabi or Doha or other places, or just, you know, money. I mean, look at the buildings. They're just beautiful.
Yes, they are.
And to me, that's like child's play with Legos compared to what God's going to be building for us and what he has for us. So I'll be there along with you, David. I'm going to be oohing and on and my mouth hanging open, beholding the wonders of God in his creation.
Indeed. Hey, David, man, that's an excellent question, man. Thanks for that. You got me all excited because, Greg, I know that because the beauty of golf courses now, I just can't wait to see the magnificence the Lord's going to have on the new earth. And prayerfully, if I work in his kingdom, he knows that he can put me in any spot, anywhere at that place, and I'm going to be a eternal happy person. 888-995-5552 is the number. 888-995-5552. Bible Info Brokers for Facebook, email, tweets, True Social, and our email.com website. Let's go back to the phone calls. Let's talk with Diana from Glendale. Diana, thanks for holding on and calling in. Welcome.
Hey, Easy. It's good to hear your voice.
Thank you very much.
And thankful that you guys have this show and are faithful. It means a lot to us out here. And I want to thank the professor for a wonderful lesson today at North Point Church. It was great. Well, I'm going to get to my question, and it's about the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to read a couple passages and then see what you think about this. First, Genesis 2:7, and the Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Then John 20:21-22. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Then in Acts, when the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost was given to the earth, it's described as a rushing mighty wind. So my question is, and I know there's probably not an answer to it, but is it possible that we receive the Holy Spirit by breathing him in?
Well, Diana, thanks for the kind comments, by the way. Thank you so much. And always appreciate your prayers and support for us, the ministry, so thank you so much. I'm going to argue that these are really metaphorical. Some people want to take this literally. Like, so it says when God spoke, and we think, well, see, God's got to speak. He doesn't have to speak. He could simply think it. I mean, that's plenty. And so these metaphorical languages used, like breathing the breath of life into us and so on and so forth. And, I mean, there is a literal truth, and that is we become living souls through God giving us life and putting that within us. But I don't think it's literally because he breathed in us, or he has to breathe in us, if you will. And therefore, I don't see any connection. Well, I understand what you're saying exactly, but that he had to breathe on us to receive the Holy Spirit. Indeed, in John 20, when he tells them to receive the Holy Spirit, and elsewhere, he doesn't say he breathed on them. And we do in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit is like into a mighty rushing wind. But this is what I would argue is called phenomenological language. This is language that God uses that we can relate to. So if somebody who, let's say, God forbid, is choking or whatever, or their heart is stopped and you're giving them mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, or you were helping them breathe, you know, we can all relate to that. So breathing and a wind, those are things for the Hebrew ruach, the spirit, the breath, the life, if you will. But I don't think we have to take it literal. I mean, I don't condone those who, think it's necessarily bad, the people who think that way, but I don't take that, I would see that as a literalism that's not necessarily intended. It's just trying to, how does God relate something to us that we can't really understand, that is completely different, right? So God starting the heart of Adam and Eve, making them not only human, but become alive. But breathing into somebody, breathing, we can kind of relate to that, if you will. So that's how I would see it. It's really, really just, simply metaphorical language. Important, beautiful language, but nonetheless metaphorical.
So then it's a mystery how the Holy Spirit gets into us then. Basically.
Well, I mean, he simply indwells us as one person, is it not, as a spirit of power, but as a person. He indwells us, but how that works exactly, sure. Well, I mean, we don't know. How is it that we can be indwelt by the Spirit? But the same way that a non-Christian could be demonically possessed.
Yeah.
There's a way that the two beings can cohabitate, if you will, when they're of a different genre, that is an angelic evil or elect or even God himself, spirit versus a human, they can actually dwell in the same place.
You know,
and by that I mean literally in the same person.
Yeah, PCH and Diana, when you're asking that question, I'm thinking about the different realms. I remember, who was the prophet's servant, Gehazi, when he was allowed to see into that realm, the spirit realm, and like you're talking about being inside of our our body, as it were, I guess would have to be, because we're inside of our body. I mean, it's almost like we're not just this body, because this body goes back to dust. So we're, even from the spiritual side, inside this body. You want to try to explain that to someone my age? Good luck. But, I mean, that's a good shot. I mean, I'm thinking about, trying to answer that from the child's perspective. It's one of those things where, man, without faith, I don't even see, Craig, I don't know. It's just realms that happen simultaneously, and we're so unaware of that spiritual realm that coexists with us inside and outside, that goes on right now. Even our prayers, that can get hindered because there's a spiritual war going on simultaneously with what we live in this life. Mind-boggling to me.
Yeah.
Diana, great question. Thank you very, very much.
Listen, thank you guys for showing up every week and making this time sacrifice, because we all out here really appreciate it. So, good night, and thanks a lot for your answer.
Thank you very much for your call.
Thank you, Diana.
Blessed privilege, PCH, blessed privilege. You know, and talking about what we've done, man, Reverend Phil from Eastvale has asked us to talk about it. And I know you wouldn't mind doing this, PCH, and Diana was kind enough to tell us about what we've been doing, but we just lost one of our pillars in Christianity, Charles Stanley, and Reverend Phil asked us speak about not just his legacy, but legacy. Why is it important to establish it and look at your life that God gives you, and not just save you and bring you immediately to heaven to live in some kind of eternal bliss with Him? But we're still here to deal with the vicissitudes, as you clearly articulated, some of the few you're going through in life. But yet, brother like Charles Stanley, I think he was, 90 plus years old, and he recently passed away. And Reverend Phil ask us to speak on his legacy, and PCH, I'll pass the baton and the mic to you.
Who asked us to do what? I apologize.
To speak on Charles Stanley's legacy and his current passing. I mean, we could speak on many men's legacy, but since Charles Stanley died, actually Charles Stanley was one of Brian, our dear brother's favorite pastors.
Yeah, I'm not sure I can do him justice. I mean, this is just, of course, you and I didn't talk about this. I'm just hearing this. And I'm not an expert in Charles Stanley, but I would say I'm one who's definitely benefited from his ministry and really appreciated so much that he's done. And it is, when I say lose, I mean, heaven's gained, he's
yes.
the Lord. But humanly speaking, when we lose people like that, that's really significant, when the stalwarts, the pillars of the faith, the great people of God pass, after Corrie ten Boom and years ago, of course, and Charles Stanley. It's definitely to our loss, but I'm very just appreciative of what he's done, his sound teaching and staying the course over all these years. And I just think he just had so many really good things to say and good insights into the Word of God. And just, I personally, as Brian was, but I'm personally very appreciative of his ministry. And someone who's read a number of his books and familiar with many of his tapes and whatnot, has listened to them and listened to him over the years on radio. And again, I have no problem at all saying that I benefited greatly from his ministry. And so, very appreciative. And I just, my attitude, Lord, forgive me, but I'm just like, Lord, you keep taking the good ones. Look,
wow.
I got some people here. Take this person. I'm not sure they're doing anything for the kingdom. They're actually hurting the cause. Please, Lord, quit taking the good ones.
Wow.
Like our dear brother Brian.
Yeah, I remember you were talking about that a few weeks after he had passed. That's pretty bold, Professor. I mean, you're asking the Lord, hey, what's going on? And I guess, let me give the counter of that. Lord, you're leaving these rascals back here. I guess you want us to minister to them. How about that? So, listen, folks, we have some open lines. Take an opportunity to call in at 888-995-5552. 888-995-5552 is the number. Bible Info Brokers is the address for Facebook, email, tweet, messenger. are, and even now, Truth Social. So please take an opportunity as we look around these social medias to receive your questions. So please, please, please take an opportunity to call in 888-995-5552 or those other formats. Bible Info Brokers is the address, or Facebook, email, tweet, Messenger, and Truth Social. PCH, as people may take an opportunity to call in before I get into my plethora of questions I have for this week. We talked about it earlier somewhat in your soliloquy in regards to what's going on with PCH's life. But you mentioned about giving, and I talked about it even in the prayer about how we appreciate people's prayers. But yet, you know, Craig, we have business to take care of. We have to take care of the financial aspect of our ministry. So if you give the alphabet soup, I'll be prepared to let the people know how they can execute that alphabet soup.
Excuse me. Yeah, in fact, I'm going to be getting back to a brother named Narbu, and he wants to. I invited him to come to the TOT training. He's a pastor. He's in Nepal, and he wants to come and bring some of his associates with him. And
right.
Had to check on the finances, because we're paying all of his travel expenses, lodging, food, and all that. And you know, I'm just so glad that people have donated that we're able to do that. And him and many others are just quality people. I think of Prakash and Surendra, the Deepak, and our dear brother Krishna. And I've just got Kesav and a number of brothers and sisters who are just doing phenomenal work in the Lord. And if people donate through this ministry, and because I don't like saying to us, because we're not getting the money, we're not getting a salary, we're not, you know, buying something with this. We invest it in the gospel. We pay for, we call it our threes, we're into our acronyms here, the BIB, which is the Bible Info Brokers, the overhead, that is from radio expense and time to the website and its management and everything like that, keeping it up to date, and resources and materials that we give away for free. You know, Daryl, that's vital. The Faithful Friend Fund, FFF, where we pay for the health insurance of the widow, Ari, of our dear brother, Brian, who's gone on to be with the Lord, as we mentioned earlier, last September. But also the TOT, the Training of Trainers, where we train pastors, the big three. Again, we're into threes. I don't know why. But anyways, pastors, Christian leaders, and missionaries. And of course, some of them do all of the above. But the point is, we're equipping them. We will be having them come to an area in India. We train them, give them the training for free, pay most of, if not all, of their travel to get there, food, lodging, and equip them to go out, to encourage them, to train them further, to share the gospel and be even more effective and efficient in the ministry God has given them. I mean, doesn't that make more sense than trying to, not that there's not a place for homegrown missionaries and sending them to the field. I'm not knocking that, but this way there's no downtime of learning the language, the culture, and all that stuff. These guys are already there, already doing a phenomenal job, already committed. And so when people donate, when they pray for us, and then when they financially give, that's where their funds go, Daryl. And I'm excited because people have been very generous, like our dear friend Diana. She wouldn't ask me to mention that, but she's been very generous over the years. And those funds are going to work for the gospel. Those funds are going, we'll be buying more Bibles for missionaries. We'll be giving them more resources, materials, allowing them to do what nobody else is doing. I mean, it's incredible, Daryl. But that comes with people as they stand with us prayerfully, number one, and financially, as they're able, particularly as we ramp up these big mission trips coming up in May into June, and then June, July, as I mentioned earlier. I'm really excited about that, Daryl, and we're trying to be faithful with the Word of God and teach the Word, and not just teach the Word, but model, well, as important as that is, but model how to live it, also about how to share the gospel with those involved in the cults, the occult, world religions, and whatever else. And that's what it's all about. And so we are a faith supported ministry. We don't take salaries. We don't have overhead like a building or anything like that. We are a pretty low budget, literally. And the bulk of the funds go right to what we're saying they do, in the sense they all go to ministry, but I mean in the sense of supporting pastors, missionaries out on the field, and all the things we've been talking about. And again, I know I'm long-winded tonight, but I'm excited, Darrell. What's here and what's coming up and these opportunities. And I think of John 9 again. Jesus talked about while it's daylight, while it's light, we need to work because the time is coming when no man can work. We need to take advantage of the opportunities we have now to share the gospel and to train and equip others to do just that. And that's what we're all about. And I know you're going to tell them how they can donate and otherwise keep in touch with us so that they're praying for us. And just it's great to know and encourage that people are praying for us. And we therefore know God's blessing will be there because God honors the prayers of his saints.
Indeed.
Darrell, how can they help you,
well, I appreciate that, BCH. And we have to succinctly to the way you can execute the giving. But I have to say this before that, Craig. I was looking all through Leviticus and various places. I remember when I was reading the Bible, and I do it chronologically, that God actually was charging folks like 20% interest when they had a obligation and a duty to, say, promote his kingdom and hitting the way he set it up. And when they didn't do it the way they was, man, they keep talking about a fifth. So if you want to do a word search and just see how God deals with us, pretty straightforward. Do a word search on the word fifth. Just right in there, fifth, get you a good concordance and enjoy the ride. But we don't charge you any interest when you don't support us because we can't. We're not in that position to do so. But it's just interesting that the Lord, he don't play around. But I'm telling you, all the things that Craig said, you can don't forget the key word for us is designation. Designate what the Lord has moved upon your heart to do with the funds that he's trusted you with to be a good steward of. And I'm going to ask that you consider also being a good steward by way of the fees that are being charged. And the way I like to tell people is this, that if you're going to do with this from a check standpoint, a money order, anything like that, you can actually save the fees that we pay on the online when you do it on our website by simply communicating with your bank for that they can actually mail it out the check, mail out however they do it with them. They actually, you can give them a reminder. Just simply tell them how often you want to give, how much you want to give, and you can change it online, especially if you have your online presence. That's just my sharing and saying, you know what? Those pennies, those dimes, those dollars add up to be more money for the ministry directly without paying bank fees and making the banks even richer than what they are. So if you have a bank, then you can contact them and you can tell them to write the check out and money order out if you're going to do it personally or have the bank do it to LBTW, that's Living by the Word. And then make sure you put that on the envelope, the same thing, Living by the Word. If you put BIB or Bible Info Brokers, but you have to have Living by the Word. That's the post office will not put it in our care. So LBTW, P.O. Box 90477, in Los Angeles, 90009. Let me give that again. Anything doing with checks, money orders, cashier's check, anything from your bank, you give your bank instructions to save those fees, write the check in the envelope out to LBTW, P.O. Box 90477, Los Angeles, 90009. Now, for those of you that are savvy, and you know, when I say savvy in regards to internet, and you can go right to our website at Bible Info Brokers, Bible Info Brokers. Click that icon that says support and donate and simply follow the one paragraph instruction. Very simple and succinct, and you're able to give on what they call a monthly subscription or the various ways that you can give one time. You put the amount in. The amount is never too small, never too large for us to be able to do the work of the Lord and have that money available to do the work that he's called us to do in the various ways Professor already mentioned to you and articulated. So take an opportunity to go to our website, Bible Info Brokers, support and donate icon, click that, and then follow the instructions. And we thank you, 2001%, we thank you very much for your support. Well, PCH, the number is 888-995-5552. Eric? You have some open lines there. I'm going to make sure that, you know, you treat the people nicely. When they call in, call Mr. Stanton at 888-995-5552, 888-995-5552. Everything else is Bible Info Brokers for Facebook, email, tweet, or Messenger. And we had that Messenger question earlier from Reverend Phil. We appreciate that. I'm learning how to operate this thing, Craig, as we're kind of talking. I feel like a little octopus here with all these different ways we can get questions in to the broadcast. So 888-995-5552. Call open lines right now. Take an opportunity. Our Bible Info Brokers for email, Facebook, tweet, Messenger, or even now, Truth Social. PC, last week, I remember, and I'm going to get to some of those questions that's coming in that way, but last week, I think it was the word I gave you, and we were talking about this guy that wrote a essay back in 1972, and you knew his first name was Peter. Last name, I only had the last name Singer, because I was listening to an audio clip on the guy talking about his subject matter. And the reason why I was interested in that, because I'm reading through a book about apologetics, because I'm eventually going to write a book about the apologetics of golf. The gospel of golf. Now, nobody call in, tell my mama or nothing like that. But it's just based upon the golf rules and how they, as far as golf is concerned and the life that we live, how the rules of golf, and a lot of sports are similar to this, but I think golf is the main sport. If God was going to create a sport on how you should live your life, I believe. Now, so challenge me if you will. It would have been golf. But Craig, this gentleman, a singer in 72, wrote about these two words, supererogatory versus obligatory, dealing with our morality. And I'm assuming that you mentioned God's first name, so you sound like you know him either personally or know of his writing in the essay he talked about. Can you please kind of break those words down? Because I found that whole 2 hours I was listening to this essay explained quite interesting about supererogatory versus obligatory and the way we live our life from a moral standpoint.
Yeah, so, sure. I always chuckle when people bring up stuff, and they they think like I'm just like some Bible Sunday guy. really, I spent the bulk of my education in secular universities in the philosophy, classic department, cultural studies, and all that stuff. So, generally, nine times out of ten, I'm like, yeah, I've read them. I had a whole class on some of these people. It's always funny. But Peter Singer was an ethicist, very controversial, known for one of his things was what he called lifeboat ethics. And that is, what would you do? How would you decide who lives? Let's say there's been a shipwreck, there's a lifeboat, and there's only so much food and space on the boat. And then how would you decide ethically who goes? What would you do? I mean, again, assuming everybody can't survive. And he's also known, particularly for animal rights work and using the phrase speciesism. Speciesism, by the way, you didn't ask about that. I'll get to your other terms in a moment. Mm-hmm. Speciesism is the idea, there's different definitions, but that thinking that any given species is superior or better than another. So the idea, why do we think it would be said, are humans better or superior to dogs? I mean, in other words, why are you the master? Why do you own the dog and not the dog own you? And so where do we get the idea that things that benefit humanity at the expense of nature or the animal kingdom in particular, where do we get this idea that that could be somehow ethical? And he would want to turn that whole boat upside down, if you will, and say that's just poppycock. That idea that humans are superior, we need to come alongside and see ourselves as just at best equals with the animal kingdom. And so that's where you get people, who will say you can't cut down certain trees because it'll ruin the habitat of certain birds or whatever. But many times, ironically, they end up causing the birds all their habitat because we have these super fires because they won't let us what's the term I want? This for cutting, where you don't go crazy and cut the whole forest down, but you thin it. And at any rate, so he's known for that and a number of other ideas. And by the way, speciesism would also include the idea that one could marry their dog or cat or what have you. And I'll leave it at that. It gets pretty bizarre from there. Go to the Netherlands and you'll know what I'm talking about. But in ethics, so we talk about when someone has a duty, typically that comes from deontological ethics. The word deon in Greek is duty-based, if you will, as opposed to, what's called virtue ethics or, for example, consequential or teleological ethics, the most famous being a form of what's called utilitarianism. But to the point. So super irrigation as opposed to super irrigation. Super irrigation is overwatering your yard.
Yeah.
I heard somebody else say that. I've always liked
that. That was a good one.
Super irrigation is going above and beyond the call of duty. So you're not just doing what you have an obligation to do as a Christian to provide for your family, for example, to be a spiritual leader in your family, but also financially and for health insurance and all that stuff as well. An obligation, but this is above and beyond the call of duty. So let me just give you an example. T- take a military officer who he or she would have obligations to the troops, particularly that they're over, they have charge of them. But what if somehow they end up in a dangerous predicament, and that officer goes above and beyond the call of duty and risks their own life to help them or save them or rescue them? That would be an example of supererogation, a supererogatory is another way to say it, a related term, or just another way to pronounce the previous one. Is so supererogatory is going above and beyond, supra, be it from the Latin, above and beyond the call of duty. Like, you think of, so for example, what was it in New Jersey? There was that plane crash, and crashed in the icy waters, a river, and there were people who risked their lives to rescue people, and they didn't have to do that. I'm talking about people who weren't even first responders, rescue workers, or what have you. Even them, some of them still went beyond the call of duty, but clearly some, lay people risked their very lives to rescue them on 9/11 and the towers in New York and that. So that's the idea. It just means going above and beyond the call of duty. You have a certain level of responsibility given a given situation, and you went above and beyond that. So often in the military, you see people get like a Purple Heart, a Gold Star, various medals, and almost all of those medals are because somebody went above and beyond the call of duty. And that's supererogation.
You know, besides, I'm going to kind of throw a set a tee up for you on this way, and forget t-ball, baseball. We're talking about tee on a golf course. I'm making those golf references a lot.
Oh, you're not talking about green tee?
No, not green fees. I won't charge you green fees.
Sounded good.
But when we're talking about all this super obligatory type stuff and things, you know, in the Bible it talks about how God, for whatever reason, and I'm saying it this way because if we give the word and we plant and we water and God gives the increase, the implication is God is the one that's going to be responsible for who's going to be saved or not. And I know we're not going to get into our 10-week discussion that we got before many years ago, but this implication that God some kind of way is, and I'm trying to remember if it was in Romans or what, where it's implied that God is not being just, or the question about God being a just God was implied that he's not being, because he's allowing people to go to hell. He's allowing people not to get to heaven. And when I'm using that word allow specifically for the reason, does that tie into this morality thing that if, and is, could we even dare make the statement that some kind of way God is not just by not doing this super save everybody?
Well, there's many things to be said here, and I've taught whole graduate classes on the problem of evil. So I just say that because I spend a lot of time on these issues.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean I know everything on that, but I mean, I've generally read almost all the major literature on that and even taught it. In fact, Brian was in that class with me years ago. And that was a blast.
What grade did he get?
I'm sure he got an A.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He
did well. ECD.
Carry on, Professor.
Sorry, moving along.
Yeah, moving along.
But I would argue, and the problem of evil is often leveled against the God of the Bible, particularly because it's claimed that he's all-powerful, he's all-knowing, and he's omnibenevolent. So those three, some would say, form what they call the inconsistent triad. In other words, how can God exist, the God of the Bible, and yet evil exists? Well, some would say, well, because he's not all-powerful. He means well, but he can't control it. He messed up, and it's his experiment gone south, sideways, if you will. But the other idea is, well, he's powerful enough. He's just not knowledgeable enough. And the other one is, well, you could say, well, he could be both powerful and knowledgeable enough, but he's not really omnibenevolent. He's not really good. And you can pick any two out of the three, one out of the three, or say and none of the three, or God doesn't exist. But we would argue, and where the term supererogation, not irrigation, but irrigation, mm-hmm. supererogatory comes in, is God goes above and beyond the call. He doesn't owe us. He doesn't have to rescue us from the sin that we do. It's basically, it was like there was, when after a big rain, there's a big a water channel, and it's signs posted, you know, do not enter, danger, you know, due to the raging waters and all that. And we don't listen. And then and we get ourselves literally in this raging water, and we're going to drown. And somebody goes out of their way to rescue us, and even maybe putting their life at stake, you know what I'm saying, literally. But they didn't put us in the mess. We put ourselves in the mess. It's our fault. But we're always so quick to blame somebody. It's always, you know, it's my computer's fault, my mom and dad's fault when we were growing up, and my dog's fault. You know, it's always somebody. It's everybody's fault but mine. And so people, and particularly if a loved one dies, they blame God. It's God's fault. It's his problem. He did it. He caused it. And there's no ownership that we caused it. It's because of the sins that we have committed individually and collectively. And so God actually goes above and beyond the call of duty. Christ entered our world. He became human. He lives a perfect life. He dies for our sins. He allows himself to be killed, or not just killed, but one of the most, if not the most, ignominious death ever devised by humans. There's an irony.
Yeah.
a torture designed by humans, contrary to the very idea of crucifixion, because it wasn't designed just to kill, but to torture and to make it a public spectacle and example against people. And so he does all that. And did he owe it to us? Did he have to do it? No. It's above and beyond the call of duty, if people don't want to use the 50-cent words. And that's what God has done for us. And he is so good and so gracious. And yet we often are so ungrateful and think like he owes us. And I feel for people, as someone who's lost family, a 16-year-old son murdered. I have a niece who at 3 drowned in a pool. Mm. Have a nephew who died of brain cancer at 10. I mean, and I'm even talking about my parents and other things. I mean, I lost all kinds of people, loved ones and family members and so on and so forth. And, you know, it's like to experience loss. I can feel for people, but it doesn't mean it's God's fault. And I don't want to make light of people's pain and be trite about it and just give my little arguments. But at the same time, we've got to put the blame where it belongs. You want to blame somebody, we need to blame ourselves individually and collectively. We're the ones that let sin into the world. We're the ones that played around with it. We're the ones who, every time we sin, we ratify the effects of sin. And yet we want to blame God. But God, back to your point, has gone above and beyond the call of duty and has done for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Christ is not only, John 19:32, tetelestai, paid in full, the Greek term tetelestai, the penalty for our sins, but he adopts those who trust in him as his own children. We're brought into the family of God and saved through the finished work and of Christ. And then David at First College Night, Pasadena, talking about the new heavens and the new earth, and yeah, God's going to lavish all this incredible blessings upon us. And I'm going to blame God for my mess. I'm going to be angry at him for what I've done. So people die of cancer. Little babies, little small children die of cancer. Loved ones, spouses, boyfriends, girlfriends. But the culprit is not God. If you want to see who's responsible, look in the mirror.
Mm.
It's you and me. We are responsible. We have sinned. We continue to sin. And every time we sin, we allow more and more evil into the world. One last time, it is our fault. Quit blaming God. Own it. You can't get healthy if you keep trying to blame everybody else for the headaches in life and all the problems, when we're the source of them. We've caused them. We allow them. We create them. God, though, has gone above and beyond the call of duty and has done everything for us through Christ Jesus. And that's the beauty of the gospel for Daryl. For those who trust in Christ as Lord and Savior, he forgives them. And we know, in light of David's question earlier in Pasadena, that someday he will remove evil from us and we will experience life as it was meant to be from all of eternity without the effects of sin and therefore without evil.
PCS, really appreciate that. Ladies and gentlemen, you see how when Craig connected the names of questions that was previous to the gospel message, how it all fits in. this broadcast is our broadcast. You're the team. You're the listening audience team. We're just on this side facilitating. So please take an opportunity, take advantage to share through your experiences, share through your question, the various things that the Word of God talks about. I encourage you. Listen, I have quite a few questions. I can just do 4 or 5 hours of this show and it'd be no problem. You see that Professor and I can go. But you, take an opportunity, the listening audience team, call in at 888-995-5552. 888-995-5552 is the number to call Eric right now. He's totally available for you. Call him during this break we're about to take. 888-995-5552. Set up the question so that we all can gain something from your question, those that are listening out there in the listening audience team. Also, Facebook, email, tweet, Messenger, and Truth Social are the various formats that you can send us a question by typing it in those platforms. Bible Info Brokers is the address to all of those. Facebook, email, tweet, Messenger, and our .com website. Take advantage of it right now. We'll be back after these messages with more of the Bible Information Brokers. Your questions, biblical answers. God bless. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Living by the Word Ministries presentation of the Bible Information Brokers. My name is Daryl Easy D. Fulton with the whole team. Ozzy is making sure it all happened radiophonically for us, and so telephonically we have PCH in studio with me. We have Eric Stanton taking care of your phone calls. Please give him a call. Inundate him with many calls at 888-995-5552, 888-995-5552 to get your questions asked and answered telephonically, as we say. And if you're on the internet, we have various methods whereby you can go on like Truth Social, Facebook, email at our .com website, Messenger, or even tweeting. We're trying to get other formats to get these questions asked and answered. So bear with us as we have a learning curve in this, since our dear friend Brian went on to be with the Lord and left all the stuff that he did for us to take care of. And we really appreciate the opportunity, PCH. I know I do, as I'm learning more, and it's actually helping me quite a bit in the other other ministries that I'm doing, especially my golf ministry. What Brian left for us to do is really, PCH, is really helping me learn some things I did need to learn. But folks, take an opportunity to call us at 888-995-5552. All the other formats I give you, Facebook, email, tweet, Messenger, or Truth Social, Bible Info Brokers is the address. Bible Info Brokers is the address. PCH, let's do this. Let me talk about real quickly the various things that we have, and then we get right into the questions. See, we can do nothing but questions as people to give us opportunity by participating in that question format that we have. I post daily on our Facebook page. I'm going to it right now, and this is day number 112. And I say on the posting, day 112, reading from the book of Psalm 6. 8 through 10, 14, 16, 19, and 21. Then I ask people to post your comment or question on these scriptures. Folks, if you just read, I'm just thinking about those 6 or 7, maybe 8 scriptures there just in the book of Psalms, you will have an opportunity to comment on it, talk about it in your own world. So what I'm saying by that is this. If you're reading the Bible on a regular basis, you're getting what God said to human beings, Craig. What is it? God revealed these things to us so that we may know them. Sometime, and I know we talked about this before, and I want you to comment on this, Craig. Why do we sometimes as human beings want to get into the things that are way beyond what God has already revealed for us, which we don't even have those things covered properly, and kind of executing those things that he revealed to us properly? We want to get all super, I'm not going to say, well, I am going to say super spiritual and get into things that are like the lost books or the unspoken word, and we just start creating things. Why do we as human beings do that instead of just taking the word of God, taking what was given to us, and then work with that first and deal with the things that we do know or were revealed as opposed to things that we don't know? What is it about us?
Well, the Bible would say it's our sin nature. We We constantly want to mess with things that we're told to stay out of, and we don't take care of the things that we're told to take care of. Well, it's perverse. It's totally jaded or distorted. So God says don't do this and do that, and we don't do that. We do this. I mean, it's just it's human nature. It's just like for most people, Daryl, you know, somebody paints and they put up a sign, wet paint, don't touch, or fresh concrete.
I'm sorry.
Do people do?
I'm sorry. That's me. That's me
normal,
right there.
Even most normally compliant people all of a sudden now are tempted to do the very thing you're told not to do, right?
Yeah.
We don't like to be told what to do, and there's something perverse in that. It can be kind of harmless and funny at times, but sometimes it's deadly serious,
correct,
right?
Yes.
But that's human nature, and we can't figure out what's wrong. And people say, well, it's lack of education or money or this or that. And certainly we don't want to deprive anybody of a good education and economic and other opportunities and so on and so forth. But it's just silly, the idea that it's just if we can get everybody on the same economic footing, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I study philosophy in this area when you deal with societies and everything's from like what's called the theory of justice by John Rawls, and Michael Sandel teaches at Harvard on what's called communitarianism. It's not going to happen. But even if it did, people would still mess up. People, even in a perfect world, Adam and Eve still chose to sin.
Wow. You know what? In that perfect world, we also, that I gave the information on how you can communicate with us through that Bible Info Broker's address for those various platforms. One of the questions that came in from a dear friend on the True Social, Husue, I like this question because it gets to the heart of what I just was talking about. And he asked the question, is God against science? And I'm just going to read it just like he said. Is God against science itself? And you would say as a professor?
No, not at all. Science, in fact, flows from God. Indeed, I've mentioned the book Science and Christianity and by J.P. Moreland, and as a philosopher and someone who has a science background, and goes through and shows the very backbone of science as we know it and its historical developments in the Western world. It was based upon the Judeo-Christian view that there was a God and who was orderly, that creation was orderly. We should expect for it to be intelligible and to find design and symmetry and all this to be, it can be systematized and all kinds of stuff. Well, our problem is not science, it's scientism, the religion of science, or what's called hard scientism. And that is the idea that things will only accept a scientific explanation. If I can't quantify it, something must not be true. So when it comes to what's called metaphysics and philosophy deals with what's the ultimate, what ultimately exists, and ontology deals with what's the nature of it. So we have no problem with science, but when one deifies science and the so-called scientific method, it says that's the only way you can know something, not a way, and valuable way at that, but the only way. Well, okay, how much does justice weigh? How much does love weigh?
Mm.
There's all kinds of concepts like love and justice and integrity and loyalty. You can't put in a test tube. You can't put them in a laboratory and manifest them, per se. So, and again, and scientism basically says the only explanation we'll accept is a scientific one. So that basically, what we would say is, a priori rules out the existence of God, and that could say, well, that's religion. So by definition, science can't deal with religion, and I would say that's artificial. In other words, so if you're dealing with, let's say, creation, and if the evidence points to intelligent design and an intelligent designer, but if you say, well, I'll only accept a naturalistic, so this is what's called a form of naturalism, I'll only accept a naturalistic explanation, but are you not thereby ruling out other life possibilities? Unless you just cross people over and say, well, I don't believe God exists. Well, if you don't believe he exists, you don't believe he exists. But that doesn't prove he doesn't exist any more than someone says, I think he does exist, and that somehow makes God exist. I mean, could you imagine? I think of times where we're as good as detectives can be and do a great job, but sometimes they get off on a tangent or So let's say, for example, when it comes to, let's say, a murder of a spouse. Well, how many times out of ten is it the spouse or a boyfriend or a girlfriend, or, you know, the boyfriend and girlfriend in cahoots with the spouse, whatever. It's one of those combinations thereof. But it's not always that way. But if a detective says, because it's often that way, it must be that way, and I'm only going to entertain that the possible suspect is the spouse, well, sometimes the spouse didn't do it. And so, but if you're already committed to a conclusion, this is, we would call this not what's called methodological pragmatism, but a pragmatic view of truth. If I've already assumed the truth of something, that it must be the case, I will ignore the evidence. So all this to say, those who argue that they'll only accept a scientific conclusion, well, what happens, though, if it's something that can't be measured by science? Now, at least directly, the seven-step method of science, which is what's a form of abductive or reductive logic. So, I thought this stuff, I'm very conversant with this, and no, we're not against science, that's another long answer, but scientism and the religion, or those who have faith in science and only science, but specifically scientism. And J.P. Moreland, there's others who've, Christian authors who've written, have done a phenomenal job on things like this. Even in the book that he co-wrote with William Lane Craig. I mentioned the book Science and Christianity earlier by Moreland, but he wrote a book on worldviews, and it deals with science, and I would argue an intellectually respectable view of science and not some false faith or religion of scientism.
When you say scientism, PCH, is it at all connected to the idea of no religion? How would you say the fancy term for no religion is the new religion? I heard a commercial, mm-hmm. many commercials about this now, that the fastest growing religion in the United States seems to be no religion at all, or no religiosity, or whatever it is. It's just no religion is the fastest growing religion. Is that some kind of scientism?
Well, it can be a form of that, but it's really a form. They're often called nons. That, in other words, non-religious don't have a view. But of course, that's not a default view. That is a view. Even the Supreme Court in the past has ruled that secular humanism is in fact a religion.
Right.
It still has ultimate views. To their chagrin, they're a religion. And so many of the famous atheist scientists often come from a Marxist or communist perspective. That religion is the opiate of the people. When you say there is no God and the only explanation I'll accept of life and the origin of life is naturalism or naturalistic, well, you know, we're not denying that God used the physical biochemical. Indeed, that I've made a very complicated biochemical entity, if you will, but you can commit the fallacy of reductionism and say that's all we are. So more than scientism, it'd be a manifestation of that. That's what we would call naturalism, and in its extreme forms, politically is Marxism and or communism. The denial of the belief in God. But even there's still a commitment to ultimate. It's still a religion. And many atheists, I have a whole paper I did one time on quotes from famous atheists. Many of the famous atheists admitted that it was a religion, that was their ultimate view. It was, they worshipped at the throne of science, or should we again say scientism?
Wow. I don't even want to bring up the subject AI. We're going to save that for next week because I have some, questions about AI, and I'm not talking about Allen Iverson either. I'm talking about artificial intelligence, and we can get into that a little bit later on. I just had to say my man Iverson because of basketball season. Lamech, let's go to Lamech, to the city of Los Angeles, and talk to our dear friend Lamech. How you doing, sir? Lamech, you're with us. You're on the air. How are you? Lamech? Okay. Yeah, there you go. You with us? You're taking one of those Craig breaks, huh? Thanks for calling in. What's your question, brother?
Yes, good evening. Thank you for taking my call.
You're so very welcome.
Just two questions. Sometimes I feel very, very sad when I heard, and when I heard, especially because it's enough for me to hear the practices of some kind of guys who preach in the word of God, either woman too, but I am not agree with this. When the woman or man preaching the word of God is telling to the believer, the Spirit of God is inside of them. I agree if they are saying the power of the Holy Spirit. I totally agree. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know 100%, more than 100%, because in my opinion, in my experience, that's the power every one believer needs to defeat all the lies of the world, you know? And I don't know why they are keep doing these practices. I don't know why. Only them know why they're doing this. But make me sad because the believers are failing every day, failing. This is not right, especially if we are in the Word of God. And the other question is...
Well, hold on. Before you get to the other question, let's deal with this first one. And if I'm understanding your question correctly, America, you're dealing with the idea, and we kind of talked about it through Diana's question about the Holy Spirit and people being sanctified as opposed to saved. You know, you can't be sanctified unless you're saved. You have to be saved first, then the sanctification process, as we talk about it, happens. And you're saying that you're against that because, if I'm understanding you correctly, you don't believe that that's the case, or that the preachers who preach about it doesn't even believe it. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe if they're saying to us, if they're teaching to us about the power of the Holy Spirit,
right?
That's correct. And I guarantee you that is correct because I'm reading the Word of God, and the Word of God is telling me the truth, not lie. The Word of God. You know, I'm not judging people. I'm not judging anybody because only God is who's going to judge people, who's playing with His Word, who's doing this kind of thing. But just I'm calling just to just for a question, and why these people doing this? And nobody telling these people they're making mistake. What's going on? And we have a teacher. Something I'm hearing always teachers, prophets, apostles,
gotcha.
And reverends. And
okay,
everyone.
Let's get the professor. Let's throw this baton or hand the baton over. Not throw it at him, but let's hand the baton to the professor in regards to this. Cause we kind of dealt with it with Diana's question, Craig. But let's see if you want to add anything else to LeMay. Because it seems like he's saying something not too kosher about that.
Well, if I understand LeMay correctly, I'm in agreement with them. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is the power of God living within us. It's the Holy Spirit. And passages like Romans 10:10, 10:12, 10:14, earlier in chapter 80 tells us that the Spirit of God doesn't live in us. We're not even saved. We don't belong to Him. And the power to overcome sin, and I'm talking abstract, but He's actually a person, is the Holy Spirit. And so... But because people are not led by the Spirit, because they're not really in the Word and letting the Word of God
yes.
and the Spirit of God through the Word of God empower them, the people live in mediocre lives and many times just, you know, one major sin after another one. And so I believe that's part of it. We don't really avail ourselves of what I've said numerous times, what the church calls the means of grace, and that is in any order but the Word of God. Prayer, fellowship with other believers, and partaking of communion. Indeed, in 1 John chapter 2, 12-14, 1 John chapter 2, verses 12-14, John tells us that the way people become strong is because of the Word of God. And though, again, it's not either the Spirit or the Word, it's both and. The Spirit working through the Word and empowering the Word to transform and to change us. But we don't avail ourselves of that. And the other thing is here is, I think, perhaps Lamech is after this as well, is that there is so much blatant sin in the church because Christians make excuses for it because they want to sin and they're not availing themselves of the means of grace and the equipping and the protection of the Holy Spirit, but also they don't want to speak out because because they're often doing egregious sin themselves, not always. But this is why, how can all these Christian leaders, or many of them who are involved in incredibly immoral lifestyles, how can they do what they do? Well, because people won't call them out, because we buy into this false spirituality. Well, that's the Lord's anointed. You can't say anything about them. Oh, you bet I can. I'm commanded to. My allegiance is to God and to His Word, and not to some human being, particularly a human being who is disobeying egregiously often at that, the Word of God. So if the church would, you know, if the church would police itself, and I mean this in the best sense possible, but if the church would police itself, I don't think we'd have nearly as many of the black eyes and the horrible reputation that the church has and Christian leaders have in the world, because there's so much hypocrisy and so much blatant, egregious sin. So I think if I'm hearing Lamech correctly, I'm really in agreement with him.
Hey, Lamech, before you get into your second question, I'm just going to read two scriptures from 1 Corinthians 5, 1 and 2, which kind of, to me, it encapsulates and made real clear what was going on in the church then and thousands of years later what's going on in the church even today, where it says in 1 Corinthians 5, 1 from the English Standard Version, it says, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you and of a kind that is not tolerated even among pagans, for man has his father's wife, and you are arrogant. Ought not you rather to mourn? Let him who has done this be removed from among you. And when you get all into it, Paul's not saying remove him because you hate him, but the antithesis is true. You're removing him because you love him and you love the Word of God, and that the stain of the church happens because of what Craig and Lamette, you apparently are talking about in your first question. What's your second question, sir?
Well, the second question is about God. It's clear. He's clear in the beginning about we don't have to, I don't have, I'm going to talk about me.
Okay.
I don't have to eat meat at all. Okay? So if I'm still eating meat, if I'm still eating the other thing who causing, who's going to damage my system, my organs, is my fault, totally my fault. And I got that word from God from the beginning. And sadly, my parents was foolish. They grown in the lies too, because that's why they teaching me to eat meat, because they don't know the truth. They don't never get the, they never get the word of God. But
okay,
that's why I'm fine with this, because, and I'm totally clear, if I get some kind of disease, very, very, very complicated disease, it's only my responsibility and my fault. Remember when the men in the past, in the Old Testament, they living more than 100 years, more than 150 years, 600 years, 500 years. Imagine that. Imagine that. We can get that. We can get those years.
Gotcha.
In
gotcha.
This time, if we obey God. But nobody wants to obey God. Nobody.
Well, Lamech, let me do this. And let me do this in this area, because what you're saying, I'm not necessarily in total agreement with in regards to the meat factor. And I'm just going to read from Genesis 9:3. And then you can do that, and I'll let PCH have his say about it. And people talk about the various diets and the various things that's good for us and all that stuff. And there should be very much something to do with what you said as far as how we are preparing food. But Genesis 9:3 says, every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. And as I gave you the green plants, I give you everything. PCH, what say you?
Well, yeah, we're not going to come to the. I was going to say my piece. We need to move on.
Right.
I appreciate what he's saying. Even now, I was in agreement with him completely. What he said earlier, but yes, it appears definitely that Adam and Eve would have been vegetarians,
mm-hmm.
right? And if one's going to argue, is vegetarianism or veganism a better diet than eating meat? Yeah. I agree. But that it's wrong? Well, let me just mention a bunch of passages. just for time's sake, I'm going to generalize. 1 Corinthians right. chapter 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Romans chapter 14, Colossians 2, but specifically like verses 14 to about 18. And so there's a, and then Acts 15. There's almost 10 passages, half dozen to 10 passages that say the exact opposite. It's between the individual believer and the Lord. And if our brother's under that conviction, then he should be faithful to that. But the idea that it's sin to do that, no. And by the way, a lot of the research, there's more and more studies coming out now that maybe eating red meat, unless you're just eating incredibly high levels of, you know, saturated fat meat, is not as bad for you as we've been told. But I'm just going to bite the bullet and say, yeah, it probably is a better lifestyle. But there's no passage in Scripture, I just mentioned over a half dozen, that say the exact opposite. And I'm going to leave it at that for time's sake.
Lamech, thank you very much for your phone call on that, brother. We appreciate you as usual,
thank
man.
You,
God bless you. 888-995-5552, 888-995-5552. Put Eric to work, please, telephonically. Have him answer these calls and put you in the queue. We have the fourth quarter coming up. PCH, I can't believe it's that time already, but call Eric right now, 888-995-5552, or Bible Info Brokers for our various websites and platforms of True Social, Facebook, email, tweet, or messenger. Bible Info Brokers is the address for all of those ways you can send us a question. And folks, during the week, if you like this type of format as far as getting your questions asked and answered, PCH, I understand that you don't have a channel, but you know somebody who does. Why don't you talk about that in the days that you are associated with that?
Well, thanks, Daryl. It's my pleasure to be on Wednesdays from 1 to 2, Wednesdays 1 to 2 Pacific time on his channel, hischannel.com.
Who? Whose channel?
His.
Okay.
Indeed, his. Not mine, not yours, but his channel. From 1 to 3, I get to host a program called Today's Bible Questions, and it's really similar to this question, only in that question, people can call a number 24/7, 365, and ask their questions, and we attempt to answer them. So that's his channel. Again, I get to be on, by God's grace, Wednesdays from 1 to 2 p.m. in the afternoon.
Now, you're correct. I have the number where people can send. Listen to this word, PCH. I'm going to bring you up to date. People can actually send a text to this number. Can you get that? What? We got all these Facebook and Truth Social platforms. Folks, if you want to talk to Craig or send a question to Craig and it's on his channel, here's a number you can send a text. Please, no faxes, but a text at 714-815-7097. I'll give that number again, Craig, 714-815-7097. For text questions, please start texting after this broadcast. Don't take away our time. We got one more segment with you guys, the fourth quarter. Don't take away our time, but send a text to PCH at 714-815-7097. How did I do, Craig?
Very well, Daryl. Very well.
Thank you, PCH. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to, again, we see some calls coming in. We appreciate that. We do have the fourth quarter rules. But PCH, while people are calling in, Eric is setting the calls up, let's give the people an opportunity one more time to participate in giving financially and prayerfully, of course, prayerfully, but financially to the various alphabet soup, as I call it, of our giving and where they can designate how they want to give.
Well, thanks, Daryl. Three big basic ways. I mean, so if people want the simple version, is just simply we ask you stand with us prayerfully, number one. But financially, if you're able, after you support your local fellowship
yes.
where you attend, if you have some more of the Lord's money, you want to invest in the kingdom. But at any rate, you can just simply send it on and say, please use it as you will, as is needed. But we have three major areas of expenditure, and none of it's our salary or a building or mortgage payment, because we don't do that. But it's either for the overhead, we call that the BIB, Bible Info Brokers, for example, from the website, the webmaster, and this radio program, and associated expenses. So it's really just the general fund. Number two is the FFF, the Faithful Friend Fund, where we pay monthly the insurance for the widow, area of our dear brother Brian, who went home to be with the Lord last September. And we feel that's right and good and honoring to the Lord. And then lastly, the TOT, the training of trainers. Indeed, I will be going to Cambodia, perhaps Thailand as well, end of May, first week of June, come back for 3 weeks, and then go again to India and Nepal. And in the latter, the first one's dealing with human trafficking and organizations that use the gospel to get little boys and girls out of being human trafficked, in which most of it is sex. Sex slaves, literally, sickeningly so, but yes, as young as 5 years old. And I don't mean like I went out of 10,000. I mean, it's fairly prevalent. It's pretty sad. But at any rate, Daryl, the TOT, Training the Trainers, where we train pastors, otherwise Christian leaders, and missionaries. We bring them to a central area. We pay for their travel, their lodging, room, board, if you will, their food, and to further equip them. They already know the language. They already know the customs. They blend in. I don't. I stand out like a sore thumb, and I can't get into certain areas because of that. But they can. And they're already doing a phenomenal job, and we want to come alongside them, equip them with Bibles and other Christian literature, financially bless them to be able to continue and to do even more than they're doing, and particularly reaching unreached people groups such as in eastern Nepal, the Himalayas, and otherwise. Just incredible privilege, and we've got that coming up, Daryl, and just, you know, again, starting in May into June, and then June into the first week of July. And, you know, I'll be honest, besides coveting people's prayers, I'm not coveting their money, but I'll ask people to give because I'll be taking those funds with me to use. I'm really a stickler about it. It's kind of obnoxious, but I always make sure to get a receipt. People look at me like you're crazy, but I need a receipt. I need proof that this is where we spent the money. This is how we spent it. We want people to know this is the money you gave at work. This is what we're doing with it. Supporting ministries, missionaries, pastors, Christian leaders. That's what this is all about, making a difference. Guys who were in Bhutan and Bangladesh and Myanmar, I mentioned Nepal, of course, India as well, you know, around the world, making a difference. That's what this is all about. And people can join us. They can partner with us. It's literally almost like they're going with us via their prayers and if they're able with their financial support. Daryl, can you tell them how they can do that?
I certainly will, PCH. And here's the way that I'm suggesting that everyone do it if you're able to do it. You have a bank account, write a check. That way we save on the fees. If you can get to your bank or communicate with your bank, have them write the check, mail it out for you by just simply contacting them either online or calling them up and saying, hey, I want to send recurring payments or donations to this particular address and information I'm going to give you 1 second. And that's the way you can do it. Or you can just write the check out yourself and make the envelope out yourself and mail it in. I don't know what stamps cost these days, probably a couple $1,000s. But be that as it may, if you use the check format or through your bank, write it out to not only the check but also the envelope to LBTW, or Living by the Word, at P.O. Box 90477, P.O. Box 90477 in Los Angeles, 90009. If you're going to use the Internet, and you want to go to our website, it's a very simple process. Just click the icon that says Support and Donate, and by doing that, it'll take you to a page whereby it has a very simple instructions, one paragraph and a sentence or so, and it'll tell you exactly how to give by that method. There's a fee associated with it, not for you, but it just, you know, takes away from the donation, and I'm just a stickler for that, Craig, and we all have our little pet peeves, and that's mine, to try to let those pennies add up to be dollars and dollars to tens and et cetera, et cetera, over the years. But listen, we have this ability to do so. So please feel free to go on our website, Support and Donate, and give accordingly that way as well. And we want to thank you 125% in advance, especially for your prayers, folks. And don't forget, don't take away from the ministry that you're being fed at. Don't take away from that, because the Lord may not have given you enough money, but any little bit and any large amount it's when I say it's the same, yes, yeah, a different amount, but people participating is what we want to give you the opportunity to participate and to give those various methods that we have through us, not to us. But we thank you in advance. Okay, Keith, we're going to get to you. Jerry, we're going to get to you. But I have to do a shout-out, PCH. Do you know how we talk about the BLM? People think it means Black Lives Movement. But my BLM is a good dear friend of mine I used to call Junior Bick many years ago. And he's telling me right now on Facebook that he's listening to us in Monrovia, Liberia. My friend Bird, Leroy Morris, the young man I called Junior Bick, that means a brother in Christ, went to his church, had a wonderful time out there many years ago. I got to get back out there, Craig. But it's just nice to be able to give him a shout out and say thanks a lot for listening. And BLM, Junior Bick, spread the word out in Liberia, man. Maybe we can get Craig and his guys to come on out there because, you know, we have a lot of stuff going on out there that needs to be, put it this way, Christ intensified. We thank you very much for listening in and spread the word for us. And everyone else that's online, please share. Hit that share button that you're listening to us. And everybody in your contact will know that you're listening to Living by the Word Ministries, Bible Information Brokers, and that way the word can be spread that way. Simply by a two-second click of the mouse by that share. We really appreciate that. Let's go back to the phones here at PCH, and we're going to talk to our dear buddy Keith in Pasadena. Thank you for calling in, brother.
Hey, guys. You know, it's sad that people don't even know about how special Liberia is in terms of how it was founded and its principles
yeah.
and stuff. But anyway, you guys were talking about science and scientism, and I wanted to know, if Craig, if you'd comment on the recent discoveries by the James Webb Space Telescope that's calling into question the theory, not fact, of the Big Bang and the formation of early galaxies. And I'm sure you know about that. That stuff, to me, is infinitely fascinating. It, next to the Bible and God, it's like just very intriguing to me. But I know that a lot of people put their faith in science, and to have something like this called into question, it just shows how the footing of science is never what it seems to be. And I thought maybe you could comment on that whole area.
Sure, Keith. Well, and I'll just say this in general, though, but that's it. It's really, it's their faith. They put their faith in science, and they think that, oh, it's so, you know, that's somehow reasonable and rational. And someone who teaches logic and has that, you know, graduate degrees in philosophy, I just find that amusing that they say, oh, you know, I'm not religious like you. I believe in science. And I think of how many times you've had these radical, you know, paradigm shifts, even when they went to the Big Bang, you had, you know, in the past, I think it was Hubble, but there were certain astronomers who held to the steady state theory, and then that was overthrown by the findings showing in the Big Bang, and now they're some are questioning that from some data. And I guess what I would just say is, because I don't claim to be an expert in these areas, my area is more of epistemology, but I'm not a cosmologist, I'm not an astronomer, even though I, like you, am extremely fascinated and have spent, you know, definitely time studying this information, but I don't consider myself, you know, Mr. In the Know. But what I would want to say is, since I don't have a dog in this hunt, I always hold these views very loosely, because often the views themselves are very contingent, very transient. The data is very debatable, and it's a real problem. And then people marry these things, and they end up being widowers because these views die to death, because ultimately the evidence doesn't support them because of what's called stacking the deck, you know, special pleading, and a number of other factors. So what I would want to say, though, with my Parthenian shot here is that if it proves out that this is going to be a very telling, in other words, really refute the Big Bang, but the Big Bang had problems to begin with, and part of this is just by people appealing to religious or metaphysical claims versus science, but So you deal with Hawking's idea of singularity, which is basically infinitely small, infinitely dense, you know, point of reality, if you will, called the singularity. And then something happens in the Big Bang, and the whole universe, as big as it may be, you know, with 100 billion trillion galaxies, each one having 100 billion trillion stars, comes from this. But you ask the simple question, well, I mean, how did that happen? And most of these are pretty, frankly, pretty sparse in the documentation. But even so, you ask them, okay, and where did it come from, and what came before that? And they say, well, we can't answer that because that's not the scientific question. Then I would argue there's something wrong with your science. If you can't explain where the singularity came in the first place and how this could happen, then you don't have much of a view. And just saying that's a religious or metaphysics question, a philosophical question, not science, therefore, like, as if, like, that gives you a pass to skip the question. Oh, you're free to go because you don't have to answer that because that's not science. Then your scientific view is incredibly impoverished because you can't explain the most fundamental alleged event of the entire, of all of life, of the entire universe, the Big Bang, and coming from this singularity. So I find some of these things, frankly, amusing. I mean, take your choice, which one, whether Big Bang, steady state, or whatever the latest fad is, it's very tenuous. And, you know, views come and go, and then they have to add new ones. And they allegedly are progressing. There's this idea that, well, they're always advancing towards truth. But how do you know you're advancing towards truth? How do you know you're not going further off the rails? There's all these presuppositions. There's all these suppositions, and I'm not willing to grant them the presuppositions. And so, therefore, I find it amusing, frankly.
Yeah.
For what it's worth, that's my read on this stuff, Keith.
Yeah, okay. Well, thanks for the comment.
Appreciate you, brother. Go ahead.
Real quick, I need to sit down with you guys and talk to you about that project I was working with Brian on. But I was talking to Eric about that, and he said to mention it to you, but I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, do me a favor. Just can you send to Eric and I an email and just kind of remind us of that so we can pick up on it? And, you know, we won't take away time from the show right now, but just please do that. Communicate with us by email. I'll find that we can get to those much sooner than anything else.
Yeah, but I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yes.
And Keith, and we need to get back on that. I'd love to do that, meet up sometime again and go forward. Definitely. Thank you.
Appreciate you, brother.
Only in and out's involved, right?
Oh, absolutely. Meeting without eating is cheating.
Here they go again.
Okay.
Indeed. Thank you, Keith. Appreciate
Thanks,
you, brother.
Guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, 888-995-5552. 888-995-5552 is the number. Call Eric. We only have exactly probably about 12 minutes left, PC8. So what I'm going to do is go to Jerry right now and ask anybody if they want to send questions by way of Facebook, email, tweet, messenger, or True Social. Go ahead and type those questions in now. At least we have them. If we can't get to them this week, we have them for next week we can deal with. And don't forget about the his channel thing, and I'll give that number again before we close the broadcast so you can send questions to PCH during the week, especially on Wednesday when he's going to be answering them. But let's go to Jerry in San Gabriel and bring him up online. Gary, thanks for holding on and calling in.
Yeah, this is Jerry. Brothers, thank you for your steadfastness into Christ, sharing your comments every weekend. The reason I call you is in regards of the first person before the last response is in Genesis 1-3, Acts 10:9-16. My question is, my real question is, when you are out of Egypt, then you went back into it. How can you get out of it? How can you get me out of it? For a professor. And also, 1 Peter 2, verse 13 to 14. What about the reason that we are all in this nation of America, and we are being misled by this person called Biden, and the minions out there on the street, also on the media that is affecting everybody, even our generations after our generations are also being brainwashed.
I think we let me say this, Jerry. I think Jerry, I think we have a feel for what you're saying on this, and if I can kind of tie it in a nice little bow.
All the verses.
Yeah, no, I got you. We have 1 Peter 2, you said, right? 1 Peter 2?
No, no, I said Genesis 1 to 3,
right.
Acts 10, verse 9 to 16, for the previous person that was talking about food. And
yeah, got you on that.
On 1 Peter 2, 13, verse 13 to 14, what about respecting our government when it's not respecting us?
Let's deal. Yeah, I appreciate that. Let's deal with that question.
Going into verse 16 to 17.
Okay.
16 to 17. God has advised us: love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king.
Gotcha.
These are the people.
Jerry, hold on. Let's get to the question because I got your question and I want to make sure the professor has the opportunity to answer it because we're running close out of time.
I'll lay back.
Now, I appreciate that, brother. I like that expression of being a referee. PCA, Jerry's laying back on his question, but the bottom line is dealing with obeying Christ versus obeying the government, when, where, how.
Well, sure, and I always appreciate Jerry. It's good to hear from him.
Indeed.
It's been a while. Yeah, there was a number of questions, but I would just distill it down to this. We obey government as it obeys God. I mean, Paul's very clear, for example, in Romans 8, but 9 and 10, about, and the principle of this is that government is given to promote good and stem evil. But when government promotes evil or stems good, that is, hinders good, but promotes evil, we can, and indeed there is a time where we not only can, but should disobey. Go back to Acts chapter 4 and 5 about when the apostles were forbidden to preach in the name of Jesus, and they said, well, you judge whether it's right to obey man than God. So government, when it's functioning properly, just like a family, when the family's healthy and they're grazing kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, or at least not harming them, then kids ought to obey their parents. But if your parents are telling you to rob banks or do other things that are immoral, perverse, then you not only can but should disobey them. So obeying government is not a universal fiat, is not without qualifications. It's just like, and the example I use is just like listening to a pastor or another Christian leader. That's not a carte blanche thing. You always listen to them. When they disobey God, when they disobey His word, or teach something false as word, then you shouldn't follow them at all. And you reject their teaching. Our loyalty is to be to God, and we should be all things equal, law abiding citizens, as long as our country is abiding by the law and is not doing things that are immoral and ought to be illegal. This is a form of what's called natural law theory, would be the view where I'm coming from. So, I mean, these are very significant issues, Jerry, and that's why I pray for America, pray for repentance, that this nation from the top down would repent, would turn from our sins, turn towards God. And it's often been said, and I think it's all too true, that the most heinous actions ever done in history have been done by people who remember God. They were mistaken. They were wrong. But I think of Newsom, the governor of California, talking about how if we really love people, we're going to promote abortion. Talk about perverse.
Wow.
Talk about twisted and messed up. Oh, yeah, so kill an unborn child, and that's loving somebody. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That guy, he needs a primer, a basic course in ethics. I mean, that's just ridiculous. Again, we are part of the government. We are Caesar.
Yes.
We live in a representative form of government, and that's why I believe it's vital for Christians. You don't have to be a political expert, but we ought to know what's going on, what issues are going on, what bills are going forward and whatnot, and attempt to make a difference through the mechanism of a representative form of government.
And I would say this on that, Jerry and Craig, that the more local that you can get yourself involved, especially with the voting aspect. The more local the government, the more it's going to actually affect you as an individual and your family. So, yeah, we always hear focus on the large one, but the local government.
Brother. I do get all that, brother. Sorry to interrupt you. But the problem is of this is we are going to die, and our younger generation's going to be here, and they are brainwashed. How are we to express to them the commandments of our Lord that to live is Christ and to die is gain, but yet they are lost? Well, the last question is, when you are out of Egypt, then you went back into it, how can you get out of it?
Sure, and the question's kind of been a sub-theme tonight, or maybe the theme, by the power of God, the Word of God and the power of God. So I don't just, look, my kids, I as much as possible, my wife and I kept them in private schools. We didn't just throw them to the public system. While there are some great teachers in the public system, there's a lot of nonsense as well, and a lot of things being taught. So I believe in the power of God, the sovereignty of God, and the educating our children and loved ones. They're not just like lost and brainwashed. I don't buy that. Can they be deceived? And that's sure. But that's the job of the church, to speak the truth in love, to teach them, to model what's right and good, to show them how to not to live, if you will, metaphorically or literally, in Egypt. To not go along with the practice of non-Christians and their ungodly views. So we can model that. We can teach that. And not just teach it, and not just say it, but model it. And so therefore, I'm not giving up hope, because God's still on the throne last time I checked. And it's not, the old saying, it's not over till the fat lady sings. Well, I wouldn't argue, it's not over till God says it's over. And in the meantime, I'm going to do everything I can. That's what we're doing here in this program and all the ministries we've been mentioning tonight and every time we're on. We're trying to make a difference. We are trying to leave a legacy, Jerry, for future generations. We're not just throwing them to the wolves and say, well, you know, sink or swim, mix my metaphors. But we are attempting to teach them to model and show them what's right and good and just and true, and that they will be like the Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's, I should use their Hebrew names, and how they, in the midst of Babylon, stood tall for God. We should train a generation like that today.
Jerry, really appreciate it, but we only have about 2 minutes left on the broadcast, BCH. I'm going to ask that you make some closing thoughts for us. Jerry, excellent, excellent call as usual, man. Totally out of time right now. PCH, you got about 90 seconds.
Well, thanks, Daryl. And it's fine, because we'll talk about the TOT going to Cambodia, perhaps Thailand, but definitely India, and Lord willing, and Nepal. We're scheduled to go there in May into June and July. And, Daryl, we're making a difference through the radio program, through the other teaching we do in person, and through Asia, Southeast Asia. Also, I'm hoping to get over, you mentioned Liberia, but supposed to go to perhaps
Ethiopia.
Romania, as well as Ethiopia.
Yeah.
But, Daryl, we're making a difference. The power of God, the Word of God, and it's about it being a legacy, and the legacy is a godly legacy, investing in people. In discipling, making disciples and mentoring people in the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and seeing them mature in the most holy faith. That's what we're all about.
PCS, I really appreciate that. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Bible Information Brokers, and we only have a couple of hours to do this broadcast weekly, and we appreciate the privilege and opportunity. And I appreciate the fact that people did take my admonition to use our social media platforms that we have. We're trying to get as many as we can to be able to do, even what Jerry was saying, help people get out of Egypt, help people to understand that concept and what it means to live for the Word of God. But you have to know the Word of God, ergo Living by the Word, ergo Bible Information Brokers. So all those that are using our media to ask us to pray for you, that's what I want. Please continue to do that. And folks, can you please reply? Let folks know that you are. Even if you just click a button that says like or reply in some kind of way, let people know that you are praying for them. That just does a world of good for each and every one of us as in the body of Christ, to be able to lift each other up, to lift each other up in the Word of God, to lift each other up in prayer, and the various things we have going. I'm going to ask you to specifically pray, because it's very crucial to my golf ministry that's coming up. I'm going to ask you to specifically pray for God's wisdom in how I'm approaching this and dealing with this, because the Lord is opening up some doors. Like I said before, I only want the doors open that He wants open, because He knows everything from beginning and the end, and close the doors that need to be closed. I have a situation whereby, Craig and the listening audience, that I'm looking for a billion-dollar insurance policy, and that by having that policy in place and the various things that is associated with that, it sounds like a lot of money, but it's insurance. You know, you're talking about a premium, not talking about $1 billion trying to raise yet, but through that situation, if the Lord opened up that door and it happens, then a lot of the floodgates of this whole golf ministry will happen, where various ministries that the reason why I'm even doing it will be able to be blessed in that financial realm. So we really appreciate if you keep that in prayer. Just remember, Easy Golf Ministry, you see a little big goofy hat if you're on Facebook. I'll hold it up right now so you can see it, where it says Fulton 54. How about that, Eric? It says Fulton 54, golf's perfect score. You'll be hearing more about it. And if you are a golfer, please email me at our website. Just go to any one of our social medias. We'll get it. And just say, hey, Easy, I'm a golfer. I'm interested in what you're doing. And I can tell you all about it, how through the golf ministry, you can evangelize this world and help many, 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 many ministries, which I believe the Lord gave me to do through this avenue of golf. So there you have it. And all I can simply say is I want to thank everyone, the listening audience team, the team here in studio. Ozzy, appreciate you. Eric, of course, PCH, love you indeed. And just please, please, please lift up PCH and all the things he's going through with life and family right now, especially about the trial of his son that was murdered. And on behalf of all of us, I'm Daryl Fulton, Mama Grace and Big Daddy's baby boy, saying if the Lord willing, we'll be back next week with more of the Bible Information Brokers, presented by Living by the Word Ministries and the faithful friends and family of the same. God bless you.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.